And then, as most of you probably recognize, I'm not Troy. Troy is in Africa this week. He's down at our care point at Swaziland, in Swaziland. And we've got a guest speaker today, actually two speakers. We've got Dave Argue and his wife, Jackie. They've both been friends of this community since Capital started. Dave has been a pastor of several different churches over the years in different parts of the country. Most recently, though, he spends his time writing and also helping churches in pastoral transition. And so I'd really encourage you guys to just open your hearts to hear what God has to say through he and Jackie this morning. If you would, join me by bowing your heads. Let's pray. Father, we come through these doors with all sorts of stuff going on in our lives. Maybe we had a crazy trip just to get to church and fought in the car. Maybe, God, we've got emotions surrounding us at Mother's Day that can impact our ability to hear from you. And Lord, I just ask that you would still each one of our minds today. Let us be present in the moment just to hear this message. Open our hearts to hear from Dave and Jackie, or more importantly, God, to hear from you as you speak through them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, Ken. Good morning, Capital Church. Good morning, everybody. And good morning to the mothers that are here. You know what? I wrote in my notes that we should have a hoot and holler for all the mothers. So we'll have the mothers stay seated, but everybody else, let's give a standing applause for the mothers that are here on this Mother's Day weekend. Would you like to do that? Just let's hoot and holler. You can hoot and holler. Hey, yay, ho, ho, hey, ho. Yeah, we salute you, mothers. We do. Great. Hey, that surprised. I kind of rehearsed in my mind what would happen if one person stood up and went hoot. And then, what would happen, if you guys didn't jump, but you jumped in. Great. Thank you. Great to be here. You know, Jackie's going to come. I just want to say thanks to the band for the song Brown Eyed Girl, because she really is. And she looked at me and said, that's my song. And so I just want to say thanks to the band for that.
You have to tell them what you thought. I asked you the name of the song.
Oh, I thought it was Black Eyed Girl, but she caught me on the right thing. I was close. Okay.
Oh,
we're mindful of the fact that on a weekend like this, it's not easy for people. We have all kinds of currents and streams of memories and emotions and current situations. 9.2 million people in our country are single mothers. That means they have someone that they're taking care of every day that's under 18 living with them. And that's a lot of people, and maybe some of you are here, and we just salute you today. And what we want to do today in our sharing is tell some of our stories, some of the stories about Jackie being a mother. You know, after Pastor called me, he said, I'll be in Africa with a team, and can you guys come here and be here on the weekend? And, honestly, I got to tell you, we just went, yes! And then we prayed about it and said, Lord, it's okay, isn't it? It's kind of like, I know you should get it the other way around, but that's honestly the way it is for us about coming here. We just love being here. We love you people. We love your worship and your fellowship together, and we like the coffee as well. And but it's great to be here. I thought immediately, yeah, right. I'm going to get up and lay out some really, really important teaching from the scripture as a man, and all the women are going to go, happy Mother's Day. It's kind of like, that's not going to work. So I just immediately said, Jackie, would you join me? Could we do this thing together so at least they can hear, your perspective and your voice and get in touch with you? And that will just make a very much more complete package. And she very happily and quickly said, yes, I'd be glad to. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to kind of share some of our thoughts. Along the way, we're going to share what we think are some of the best gifts that mothers can give. And those will be up on the screens, we hope. We're a little bit tough on the guys back there. And I thank you, men and women, for your technical expertise. And if we wander a little bit, we grant grace to you already. But they're going to put up on the screen some of what we share as we go. But we're going to tell you some stories. Like Jackie, her roots are really deep here in Salt Lake City. And she's going to tell you a story about when she was a single mother, and it was Mother's Day, And it's something that she remembers so clearly, and maybe you can start entering into what we're going to say today through her story. So could you tell us?
Well, it was 11 months after my first husband was killed in a car accident, and I was facing my first Mother's Day with three young children, and I was dreading the day, to say the least. But on Saturday, my three young kids wanted to buy their mother, each of them wanted to buy a gift for me. So I was given orders to sit in the Shopko parking lot. I knew I was going to get some
really
doozies, you know. They took their money in, and they were all excited, and all three of them came out carrying a bag. But I noticed my son's bag was really large, and I thought, what could have he possibly done with that little bit of money? So Sunday morning came, and the excitement was building, and the first thing I opened from my daughter was wonderful bath lotions and bubble bath and gels and all of that, and it was wonderful. And then my youngest daughter given me a wallet with a little note she tucked inside that I still have to this day. Now came the big package, drum roll. My son was just so excited to give this to me. And as I pull it out, it's a large grave marker that says, Mom. Plastic flowers, yeah. The whole
flowers.
Works.
Really pretty.
He was shopping in the Memorial Day aisle for his mother's gift. And, of course, the first thing we had to do before we left for church was to carry that out into the front yard and plant that baby right there for all the neighbors to see. That was only the beginning. We went to church, and I was feeling really, really bad for myself, really sorry for myself. And I could look around and see husbands with their arms around their wives and whole families sitting there together. And it was really a difficult day. On to lunch that day, the same thing. All these families and children laughing with their daddies. And I'm like, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do? And so I'm feeling very frustrated on the inside, but carrying well with the children, you know. As we're driving home, however, my youngest daughter in the front seat of the car says, Mom, I'm sick. And I said, well, just hold on. We just got to turn the corner, get in the driveway, and we'll be home. No. Mm-mm. Right there in the car, front seat, on her new dress, my new shoes, vomit everywhere. So now I blow it. The sweet, kind, loving mother that I am says, well, a fine Mother's Day this has turned out to be. And she starts to cry and says, Mom, I didn't mean to throw up on Mother's Day. Now, what was worse for me is I had to get out of the car, walk up the sidewalk, and see the Mom sign in my front yard. And I realized then and there that was a real prophetic moment for me. Because it's true, mothers lay down their lives for their kids. And the Lord used that sign to speak to me that it isn't all about me, it's about my kids. And I had to be strong. And I had a job to do when I got in the house. I had to ask for forgiveness and say, I'm sorry. This is a hard day and Mom blew it. But I know a lot of you can identify with me. There's a lot of times in our lives where we speak those kind of things, and God uses it, though, if we let him, to encourage us and to help us to be a blessing.
Yeah. Well, that story illustrates our first point, actually, and that first point is a mother's best gifts, we think maybe number one, is life. A mother gives us life. A mother carries us. Isn't it cool the way God did that? It's like he has a little infant nurtured right inside the mama for so many months before it's brought out into the world. He gives the chance for that incredible process of nurture and development and bonding to go on. And then, as Jackie was illustrating, it's not that you give life to a person who is born, that's just it, but It also is that you lay down your life, you give of your life daily, and it goes on and on and on throughout all of the life we live. And thank you, moms. We want to just say that. We want to thank you. Maybe you haven't been thanked very much, but we want to thank you. Every one of us are in that place this morning without exception. We're greatly indebted that you didn't kind of buy into the ethic that this is, after all, a convenient or inconvenient thing and you can make choices about this. But you bought into the thing that you would do this. You would be a mother. You would give your life so that we could come to life. And we want to thank you and salute you this morning. And the second thing we want to talk about is the second great gift mothers give is lift. It's not done when a person is born. If a mother is going to fulfill a role that's a good and godly role, she also is a person that gives lift. We've come up with three things, and it's not that these are the only three things or that the most important one is first. It's just three things that we think are part of lift. One is time. Mothers give time to people that they care for. And another thing that they give is they give talk. They listen, they interact, and the third thing we put on our short list is they give a tone to life. They give time, and they give talk, and they give tone. I can remember when I was getting ready for this, it's now a very long time since my own natural mother passed away and went into the presence of God forever. And she was, you were on that walk yesterday for breast cancer, but that's what she was afflicted with and passed away in very much more primitive medical times than are now available. And I have, after all these years, have some memories, and it's precious indeed when a memory comes back. And as we were getting ready for this, this memory came back, and here it was. I'm a small fry. I'm coming home from school, Caswell School in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Is that a name? Imagine being six. And where are you from? I'm from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Great. You passed English. You know, it's kind of like, anyway, that was my lot. So here I'm walking home and I'm coming through the door. And here was my little routine. You can raise your hand if this was yours. Anybody home? And from the basement, there would be this, I'm down here, David. So I would advance to the stairwell. There's a long flight of wooden steps. And at the bottom of the stairwell, I'd see an ironing board and my mother, and she was ironing clothes. And so I would find myself sitting down on the steps, and she would say, how was your day? Then she'd say, do you have any troubles today? What did you learn today? What did you like today? And we would talk, and I would answer the questions and volunteer some other information. But let me tell you, I have never been, you might not believe this, I have never been the big guy that has to talk a lot. I'm a pretty quiet guy in many situations. It's a mystery to me, in fact, that God puts me in this place to this day. So here I was perched on the stairwell, and she's asking me questions, and I'm talking. And now, years later, I go, a setup. It was a setup. My mother set me up. She didn't have to iron then, but she knew when school got out, and she knew what my routine was. Anybody home? So she went to the bottom of the stairs where she kind of probably knew he can sit on the stairs. We don't have to go eye to eye, and it can be slow and comfortable. He doesn't have to talk and talk and talk and talk and get it all out, and I'll just take time, and he'll think I'm just working anyway, and it'll all be easy, and we'll talk. That's what mothers do. They figure that stuff out. And they help people, not just children, but they help all kinds of people be able to express the formative stuff in their lives and deal with their stories and their issues, their ups and downs, the bully that was going to beat me up. Happened to be the pastor's son. I'll tell you about that someday. Yeah.
And it's funny because when he told me that story, when we were preparing for this, I said, that's really strange because that's my memory, too, of walking home.
Wow.
Into the door on the farm, and there was my mom ironing in the kitchen and homemade goodies waiting for me. Now, David had trouble coming up with conversation. My mother had trouble stopping my conversation. So we had no trouble conversing. But I can remember, and I'm just going to bring this up because I want to see how many other people remember a certain smell or something in your home that brings back a sweet memory. Because for me, it was my mom ironing and smelling the steam. She'd iron the pillowcases, the sheets. She was really, I know it's been a long time ago, but she was an at-home mom, helped Dad on the farm all the time, but there was that smell of walking in and smelling that fresh cotton with a steam iron that I'll never forget. And it's a sweet memory.
Yeah.
And mothers give a lot of time to talk to us and to listen.
You know, so the next time you go to the department store to buy some linens, you might say, I'd like the wrinkling kind, please. I'd like the kind that wrinkle and I have to iron. Does that sound like a deal? No, don't. but honestly, the point is, find time. Don't let stuff invade your atmosphere, the presence of your home, the presence that you have. None of us have endless amounts of time. The time to talk has got to happen at certain moments in our days, doesn't it? Because we don't have either the energy or the attention or whatever to do it. So here's my, my biased encouragement, okay? Shut down the stuff that distracts. So you can really focus on each other. So you really can listen to each other. So you can think about what the people you're talking to are saying and how to lead and take it further and take it deeper and get your story out so that it can be understood. So, I better not be meddling if I go any further. So I'll just stop it there by saying cut the distractions as much as you become aware of them. Yeah.
Another thing that mothers set in the home is the tone. And this can come through many different ways. The food that you cook, the colors, the decor in your home, the way you celebrate birthdays, sounds, surprises, laughter, your attitude. Mothers play a key role in all of this. For us, birthday celebrations with the grandkids that do live in the city near us, they know they're coming to Grandma's house for birthday cupcakes. And they all get to decorate their birthday cupcakes. And it's a huge tradition that's been started. And they love that. It's setting the tone of joy and all kinds of fun.
Yeah, so like last Thursday, that's the last time, Thursday before we got on the plane Friday, we had the birthday celebration thing and all the grandkids that live in that area, about six of them, were there. They were present with their folks, of course. And here's what happens now. When they come, it's really funny. It's like they come through the door, hello, Grandma, Grandpa, and they're gone. I mean, right by us, so disrespectful. It's unbelievable. And they head right to the kitchen, and here's what they do in the kitchen. They go to the stove and pull all the lids from pots and things and smell. And look, what are we going to eat? What's going to be there? What did you make today, Grandma? She's setting the tone of kindness and thoughtfulness. And hours before they come, both of us actually are working pretty hard getting ready for them. We want it to be that way. We want to set the tone for them, to tell them we love them, we care about them, they're special to us. So that is fun. And, it was almost like an irritation, wasn't it, to think, they're coming, what are they doing, getting into my kitchen, doing all this? And then we kind of discovered as in a conversation, that's actually a big compliment. Yeah, it's actually a big compliment.
When I was a single mom and my kids were young yet, after my husband had passed away, I was having trouble coming up with ways to pray with them at night because my hope was gone. He was killed in a car accident. So how do I pray for safety and protection? How do I ask God to protect us? And how do I pray with my kids? And how do they have faith to even believe that there's a God out there that cares about that kind of thing? And so I was... shortly after he was killed, a verse came to me from Psalm 27:13 and 14 that says, "What would have become of me had I not believed in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Wait, take courage, and hope in the Lord." And for me, that verse became my foundation for our lives in a single parent home. And I had to continually look to the goodness of the Lord and not doubt his goodness not question his goodness to me. Though it felt like my world was falling apart, he is a good God. And I've got to help my kids embrace that truth and hold that truth throughout their lives. And so when we began to pray together at night, it was like the Lord showed me how to do that. And it was this: end your prayers with, "Thank you, Lord. Thank me for the good things that I have in store for them." Pray that and let them hear that. Build faith in them. And so that's what we began to pray. And do you know, these kids, I mean, it's 20 years. It's going to be 20 years this year that he's been gone and that we were praying those prayers. And every one of them are walking with God, serving God, and they still say that in their conversation. I know God has good things in store. You know, it's coming. I know it's coming. I know there's more good. And so moms, instill that truth. Send your kids out the door with a good tone in the mornings. One that I said to them was, DYB, and remember whose you are. And that was, do your best and remember who you belong to. It's not just your last name that you're representing. You're also carrying Jesus with you. Represent that to your friends at school.
You notice she keeps going like this? It's lift. It's all about lift. It's all about seeing where people are and helping them go a bit higher, just a little bit higher today, a little bit stronger, a little more faith today, a little more contact with God, and a little more love for people, helping people around you. That's really what it's about. It's about a gradual step process, isn't it? And we've talked a little bit about life and now a little bit about lift and then just a very tiny bit about limits. I think one of a mother's and a parent's best gifts to children are to set some limits that make sense, that are helpful, that structure life and put some boundaries around certain things in life. It's not sometimes an easy thing to do. It's sometimes not an easy thing to perceive where you put a limit. But let me illustrate one thing that comes back to my mind with the two children that I was parenting and responsible for directly. As I watched kind of their interaction in the home, it seemed to me like I was becoming aware that they were fighting more. Wasn't that nittering? You know, is that a word you use? Knitter,
I think
natter?
It's Canadian.
Is that Canadian? Nittering. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, they were being nasty. Is that okay? Okay. And I, as a parent, was just observing that, and all of a sudden, I think it was a God thing, and I want to say to moms and dads that and everyone that's here, God is into what we're talking about today. He's not giving you a few principles, and then I'll see you later in eternity. But if you keep your hearts and ears open to his presence as you walk through life, I think things like this will happen frequently, and it is happening still with us in our family. And that is, one day as I was thinking about this, and it was happening again, it all of a sudden hit me, instruct them about this. Help them become aware of what's going on in principle behind behavior. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like the behavior here is starting to become irritating, and I could have just said, stop it. You know what I mean? Big deal, you know. But what we did was the Lord gave wisdom, and we sat down, and I said to them, now here's my observation about what's going on. You guys are picking on each other. You guys are starting to fight a lot more than you used to. We all do some, right? I mean, that's life. But you guys are starting to take each other on in ways that are really concerning me. And I just want to say, as your dad, we're not going to do that. That's not what this home is going to be like. You're going to fight a lot out there, and people are going to take you on that don't care about one thing or another for one reason or another. And you'll have hard things out there. So here, it's going to be a safe place, and it's going to be a loving place. And we're not going to run each other down. We love each other. Got it? Got it, Dad. And it wasn't like perfection happened in a moment, and I got the Father of the Year award. It was change that I could see. And it never went back to where it had been again. I think that's exactly what the scripture says when it says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, Proverbs 1:8. And do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it. I've heard a lot of stories of children that have turned. Have you? And then turned again about 15 years later because they just could not get away from what had been built into their heart. They just knew it, and the Spirit of God prompted them. We got one final point, right?
Light.
Yeah.
Mothers give life, lift, limits, and light. And what we're talking about here is just the spiritual input and the spiritual grace and truth that you can pour into your children's lives. And may I say, not only as they're small, but as they're older as well. We get to do that with our kids. They're all grown and adults. But when they call us for prayer and counsel, we know that we are going to be ready to speak life into them. And not just say, we'll pray for you and hang up the phone, but stay on the phone. We're going to pray with you because that's key. And the only way you can do that is to have a strong foundation on the inside, that you're a carrier of God's presence. And that takes time.
Yes.
It takes a lot of time to just sit and talk to the Lord and listen and wait. Get into His Word and feed on His Word. Those aren't all things that you just have to do to be a good Christian. They're what carry us and give us the strength to be good parents and to be good role models and to be good friends and everything in life. It's about carrying the Spirit of God in you.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I think that is all a potential danger for us here in our cultural format of church on Saturday night or Sunday morning, wherever it might be, and that is we kind of contend, not even consciously, to build in a sense, oh, that's the segment of life that God is present in. You know, that's where I encounter God, etc. And then I have to go to work tomorrow, you know, or whatever I do tomorrow, to school, whatever. And that's the danger. I think that's a real, real danger, because this point should just be a fire-up point. In other words, this should be hopefully giving you some agenda for the days that follow right away. Well, it's maybe fresh in your heart or whatever. But it's like the presence of God with you in every moment is really what we're hoping all of our lives become more and more. I have learned that in a really stellar way that could really take time to tell, but I'll make it extremely brief. But basically, I've had a few times recently where in the context of being around family and people close to us, I've been starting to get what I'd call a prompt from God to do something. And it's like, are you kidding? Is the way I've said this internally when it starts setting up, like, pray for your son, lay hands on her, stand over her and pray. Don't let this go. Is that kind of prompt? And so it's like, okay, are we going to end all the kind of family stuff and do this? It's difficult. You have to make the choices to the kind of person I want to be. And I want to be a person that most people around say, man, I think I see something of God in that person. Isn't that kind of what you want to be as well? You know, however that might come forward. And so I want to just tell you, just out of the frankness of my heart, that some of the more profound moments of sensing the presence of God and watching Him work in people have been in those moments recently. And I am just, I'm becoming just a believer like crazy in listen all the time. Look at everybody with a bit of a question in your mind, you know? Why did I get that waiter here for lunch today and not her? Why did he come back and care about us so much? Lord, are you setting something up? That's what I'm talking about in terms of starting to walk through every place in your life, not burdened down by this, but just like inquisitive, like, oh, is that maybe you, Lord? And so many stories we could tell you about when we said yes, and it was the Lord, and what happened. And I think parents have the responsibility to teach their children to live that way and to be that way, and not to say allow a Sunday educational process for children, which is very important, to be the teaching and training moment, but to take the teaching and training and experimental moments into everyday life. And so, yeah.
And can I say one other thing? just so you don't think, oh, they're pastors up there, and life is just so easy for them, and, you know, they can just give us story after story. It's not that way. We have to walk out life just like you do. We have challenges just like you do. A few years ago, the son that gave me the mom grave marker went to Afghanistan to serve our country. Yeah. That was the most difficult 15 months as a family that we faced, a call to prayer and faith and trust. And now our youngest daughter and her family are being called to serve as missionaries in Pakistan. And they'll be leaving within probably a year to 18 months. And this is a whole new area of walking out trust. And really, why there? You know, that's what the mama's heart says. I'm begging them to stay. And they're saying, you can't argue with God. He's called us. We're going. So there's challenges. We have to trust God just like you do in so many areas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. You know what? Going to switch tracks a little bit and get to the last segment here. And then we're going to pray together, because I sense all through this weekend, the Lord has really been speaking on a very deep level to people's hearts, because we're touching areas that are common to us all. But one of the great things, particularly when kids are younger, or they're older but have younger hearts, is to read stories. And we've had stories over the years that we've read to the children and that have touched us very deeply. And we brought with us a story that was one of our favorites. And we thought, on this Mother's Day, why don't I have a great mother read a great story? How about that for a conclusion? And it will kind of put a lot of what we said in a childlike lens. And I hope that as she reads it, you will just allow it to soak into your heart and respond just as you would like to. I want to say already that Jackie and I are going to linger here. And if you want us to pray for you, with you, you know, it doesn't have to be big and long and that public, but we're just going to hang out up here until that's not happening. And I want to say that now, so that now as we go into this segment and then into prayer, you know that's a potential as the Lord might touch your heart. It's been great to be here with you.
Time for the book. It's called The Runaway Bunny.
Should be up on the screens, I think. You might want to move over there, because that's easier to see it.
Once there was a little bunny who wanted to run away. So he said to his mother, I am running away. If you run away, said his mother, I will run after you, for you are my little bunny. If you run after me, said the little bunny, I will become a fish in a trout stream, and I will swim away from you. Oh, if you become a fish in a trout stream, said his mother, I will become a fisherman, and I will fish for you. See the carrot? Oh, she's such a smart mother. If you become a fisherman, said the little bunny, I will become a rock on the mountain high above you. If you become a rock on the mountain high above me, said his mother, I will be a mountain climber. And I will climb to where you are. Can you find the bunny? If you become a mountain climber, said the little bunny, I will be a crocus in a hidden garden. If you become a crocus in a hidden garden, said his mother, I will be a gardener, and I will find you. If you are a gardener and find me, said the little bunny, I will be a bird and fly away from you. If you become a bird and fly away from me, said his mother, I will be a tree that you come home to. If you become a tree, said the little bunny, I will become a sailboat and I will sail away from you. If you become a sailboat and sail away from me, said his mother, I will become the wind and blow you where I want you to go. If you become the wind and blow me, said the bunny, I will join a circus and fly away on a flying trapeze. Oh, if you go flying on a flying trapeze, said his mother, I will be a tightrope walker and I will walk across the air to you. If you become a tightrope walker and walk across the air, said the bunny, I will become a little boy and run into a house. If you become a little boy and run into a house, said the mother bunny, I will become your mother and catch you in my arms and hug you. Shucks, said the bunny. I might just as well stay where I am and be your little bunny. And so he did. Have a carrot, said the mother bunny.
Let's pray. Lord, every time that story reminds me of the words that you gave to Jeremiah to speak to everybody. When he said, I, the Lord, have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. That's you, Lord. We just often can't get our heads and hearts around that, but that is who you are. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Some of us have struggled with some really key relationships in our lives, but thank you that behind it all, we can be confident in your love for us, in your good favor over us, in your drawing of us into relationship deeper and deeper with you. On this special weekend, Father, again, we pray your blessing on each one that has the care of little tiny children and larger, bigger children. Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom and the ability to lift, the ability to nurture life, the ability to set, Lord, the boundaries and zones of life that makes it work. We commit, Lord, freshly our hearts to you today, and we thank you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Dave and Jackie, for sharing your stories. After the service, as they mentioned, they'll be up here to pray with some of you. If anybody wants to receive prayer, we'll also have some other folks up here. You know, a message like this touches us all differently. There's some of us that are either in a lot of pain or maybe we're celebrating the birth of a new child. We all come from different places. And so as a blessing to you all, actually, would you guys stand with me for just a moment? As a blessing to you all, I pray that you would know that there is a God that loves each and every one of you right where you're at in this journey more than you can ever imagine, more than you can dream up and more than you can think. And so just like the bunny, mama bunny chasing them, God is there for you regardless of where you go, regardless of what's going on, and he loves you and wants to comfort you. So thank you guys for being here. Grace and peace.